Good morning. How are you? Today we hear one of the most famous gospels, of course, that we use again and again. But I think we always take it out of context in some ways, because Jesus is eating and drinking with sinners. The sinners and the prostitutes and the tax collectors are attracted to him. And the Pharisees are complaining, and they say of God, "This man eats and drinks with sinners." And then that next line says, "And so he addressed this parable to them." He's talking to the Pharisees. And so the story really is not so much about the prodigal son and the father, but it's about the older brother, correct? Who didn't want to forgive, who didn't want to welcome the people in. So when you put it in the context of who Jesus is talking to, he's saying that you need to be a person like me. You need to be a person of mercy. It's interesting that to both, he ran out to meet his son, the prodigal one, who went and wasted all the money and had nothing. And he went outside to meet the older son. The father leaves his place and humbles himself before both who are sinners. The one sinner was a big sinner who wasted everything, and the other sinner was a bigger sinner who judged his brother. Both were sinners, and both the father went out to meet. Of course, I was in San Diego for less than 48 hours, and then I went to Baltimore, and my San Diego trip was a very fruitful trip in some ways. You know, one of my buddies who I hadn't talked to in a year because he was mad at me and I was mad at him, you ever have those type things? We reconciled. That was a great reality. I was wanting to reconcile 8 months, 9 months, 10 months ago. It took a while, but anyway, it got done, so great. But then, at the same time, I was with Dr. Ray. You all know Dr. Ray, right? And we had our tables next to each other. So I'd tell all the people, please go buy all Dr. Ray's things, because Dr. Ray's poor. He has 10 children to feed. You don't have to buy my stuff. Buy his stuff. And he'd just it was fun. The two of us, they said, they'll never put us together next to each other again. But at the same time, there was this man that came, and he had, like, started with every speaker. Now, again, I'm not the type of speaker to start with, you know, but the guy came up, and I'm sitting there, and he hands me his cell phone. He says, "What do you think about this, Father?" And I'm looking at it, and it says, you know, it was something from one of the popes in 1666. That was a long time ago. And it talks about if someone kisses somebody passionately, it's a mortal sin. And I, of course, in all my CDs and everything I put out, I say, you know, the big question to me is, how far can you go? And what's my answer? Does anybody know? Nothing below the neck, either neck, right? That's what I've used for 26, 27 years. Well, this guy was saying that I was wrong, that if you kiss somebody passionately outside of marriage, you're in mortal sin. And I said to the man, that was 1666. I said, a lot has learned throughout the ages. So you're saying that this is not correct. It's not a mortal sin. And I go, yes, I'm saying. And then he starts fighting with me. I start screaming. I start swearing. I said, I'm going to take this phone and I am going to shove it right up. And I stopped. I didn't say what I meant. But I'm screaming at this guy, and I says, I can't take Pharisees like you. Get the hell away from me. Do you understand me? And so everybody's looking at me, yelling at this man. And so he finally got scared, and he left. And then I'm going to get up and talk about mercy in 20 minutes, you know. Is this sound typical of Father Larry Richards? Yes, it does. We know. Everybody knows. But the reality was, that night, when I'm talking about this, and the guy's in the corner as I'm preaching, and I'm talking about Christ wasn't always gentle, because I was trying to justify myself, because that's what we do, is we justify ourselves. And he was. Christ yelled at people, did he not? Yes, did he not do that kind of stuff? And this man had went to the bishop, and he went after everybody else, and everybody else was really nice to him. I was not. But then I sat there and thought, when I went to bed that night, when I did my examination of conscience, I says, how many times, Father, I always come back to you begging you for mercy for the same stupidity over and over and over again. I'm not like the prodigal son who did all these things once and came back. I'm the prodigal son that every day hurts my father and has to beg for mercy. And sometimes, as Pope Francis said, we get tired of asking for mercy. And I know I get tired of asking for mercy because I keep hurting the Father who I love and who loves me, and yet I keep hurting him. 99% of the time, I don't even think about it. Like when the guy came up to me, I was not thinking, oh, I think I will yell at this man this day and threaten to take that phone and put it somewhere where the sun doesn't shine. But he set it off, and he got that from Father. And the reality is, again, I had to come back to my Father. But the purpose of the reality is, the Father was already running to me, saying, I saw you did something stupid again, Larry, but I still love you, and I want you to come home. And no matter how many times we do things, if we have that heart that if I never want to do it again, Father, I don't want to sin anymore, I don't want to cause, you know, because that kind of causes scandal, doesn't it? You know, when you're doing that stuff, I realize this, you know, it's not like I'm stupid. But the reality is the Father's always calling me home, and he's always calling you home. The question is, will we humble ourselves and ask for mercy, even when we know in our hearts we don't deserve it? And by definition, that's what mercy is, right? Giving something good to someone who doesn't deserve it. And so no matter what, no matter where, no matter where you've been, whether you're the judging son, whether you're the son that goes out and spends all the money on all the selfishness and pleasures, the Father is calling you home. The Father wants you to humble yourself and ask for mercy. To don't think of yourself that you're so far from mercy that there's no point. And don't think of yourself that there's no need for mercy because I'm good compared to everybody else. All of us are in need of mercy. And all of us, our Father comes out to meet us and to welcome us home and to say, I'm going to help you. You are going to change. It is going to get better. But the clue is, will you and I humble ourselves and acknowledge we need the mercy? No matter how often, we can never stop and say, no, I'm done. I don't need mercy, or he won't give it to me. He'll always give mercy if we ask for it. So ask. May you know his love today and forever. Amen.